test of the recording system 727.
Oh, they finally got the damages taken? All right, here we go. Whoa. Officer Cherry threw the book at this person. Oh, Mark, here we go again. Three more counts of disorderly conduct. And they're all the same. Yeah, that's...
Yeah, and I think it's been a little late because of the other person involved. They did it as
normal. 4762, right? Yeah, there it is. Yeah.
Huh?
Morning, Mr. Siles. We're going to start with Mr. Worley.
Okay.
But just one question. Three counts of disorderly conduct? Were there three people in the house?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Three people in the house.
But that's the way it was.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get him on the line. That probation officer didn't call me back, did he?
Hello, this is Stephen.
Is this Stephen Worley?
Yes, sir.
And your date of birth is what?
2/11/1989.
Mr. Worley, I'm George Duskamore Valley Magistrate. We've got Mr. Siles, with whom you've already spoken, on the other line. You were arrested on May the 25th. You were charged with one count of assault, one count of criminal damage. Mr. Siles, what was the amount of the damage? Because they have it as a one.
It's not a one, it's a two.
Okay. I'm anticipating we'll get a motion to amend.
Yeah.
Okay. And three counts of disorderly conduct. The assault and the disorderly conduct are class one misdemeanors with a possible maximum penalty. 6 months in jail, 3 years on probation, $4,494 in fines and surcharges. The minimum mandatory penalty, which means the penalty that must be assessed if you're found guilty, would be 26 sessions of domestic violence counseling. Do you understand that?
Yes, sir.
You have the right to enter a plea of not guilty. You have the right to have a trial. You have the right to have an attorney. It doesn't necessarily mean court-appointed counsel. That decision would be based on your income and the possible maximum penalty that you're facing. You have the right to remain silent and the right to be present at all court proceedings. You understand all that?
Yes, sir.
We're going to enter a plea of not guilty on this. We're going to set it for a pretrial on September the 9th at 9 o'clock. So 9-9 at 9. If you fail to appear, we could issue a warrant, and you could be charged with the offense of failing to appear. Do you understand all that?
Yes, sir.
Notice to the victim, Mr. Silas.
Well, Judge, that's the problem. We haven't been able to. He gave me a number to try and contact.
Okay.
We got it. On file with permission.
State asking jail?
No.
All right. Any questions, Mr. Worley?
Not at the moment.
All right. So September the 9th at 9 o'clock.
Sounds good.
We're going to give you some pamphlets from the Pima County Bar Association that might assist you in either getting some reduced cost legal advice or reduced cost legal representation, okay?
Sounds good.
Before you go talk to any attorney, though, you should get a copy of the police report. You can do that by filing a written request with either the prosecutor's office or the Oro Valley Police Department, okay?
Uh-huh.
Is it in fact two of the four microphones in the courtroom don't work?
Well, interesting.
We also learned that Raleigh magistrate, and I was about to start a discussion with Mr. Ford about setting his case for trial. So, what's going on, gentlemen?
Judge, I contacted the victim. They were trying to do a civil compromise. The victim will not sign a civil compromise, so we're just setting up for trial. Did you hear that?
I did. I'm writing.
I'm sorry. It's so quiet, I couldn't help.
Well, I've always been a quiet writer. So, Mr. Ford, how does September the 9th at 2 o'clock in the afternoon work for you?
It should be fine.
Okay. Our plan at the moment is, well, we're not sure where we're going to be in terms of having in-person court, but I think you should plan on having it conducted over a Zoom or video format, which means if you have photographs or other exhibits that you want admitted, you have to have them to the court. I would think no later than September 1st.
Okay.
But that goes for the state, too.
I'm still trying to decide if I'm going to represent myself or if I'm going to get a lawyer.
Okay.
If I wanted to, I don't know. I really don't want to go to trial for this, but I will if I have to. I was wondering if it's possible to do a guilty plea bargain still, or if that's off the table. I just don't know the process.
Mr. Silas, that's entirely up to you.
Judge, why don't we do this? Why don't we leave the court date? I will mail a plea agreement to him. If he's in favor of it, he can let me know and I'll let the court know.
Okay.
I want to talk to legal counsel before I decide what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have an attorney already?
I do not.
Then we'll give you the two pamphlets from the Pima County Bar Association. The one of them, the lawyer's referral, you can get some not terribly expensive legal advice for 30 minutes. On the other one, it's you could get reduced cost legal representation if you qualify financially.
Okay.
Okay. Are you still in Murray, Utah?
No.
Oh, if you moved here, you kind of need to tell MVD that you have a new address.
I've told that MVD. I still have a Utah license, and I need to change that. But I have updated my address with MVD.
Okay.
They seem to keep my Murray address just because I have the license.
Mr. Silas, I'm assuming there was notice to the victim.
That is correct.
And the victim's not present.
Correct.
And Mr. Ford, there's still the failure to reduce your control speed that went along with this, which is also a 3-point violation, all right?
Okay.
All right, so the plan is setting it for trial September the 9th at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Mr. Ford will need to sign two things. One is an acknowledgement of trial date form. You have the right to be present at the trial. If you fail to appear for the trial, the state can still proceed in your absence and you can be found guilty even though you're not here. Do you understand that?
I understand.
Judge, can you leave this current address with the court just so I can make sure I'm sending him a plea if he wants to take it?
That's a good idea. What's your address, Mr. Ford?
My address is 7300 North Mona Lisa Road.
Okay.
15191.
15191.
That's right.
Okay.
That's Tucson, Arizona, 85741.
Very good.
Bye.
Oh, the other thing, Mr. Ford, in the event that you didn't appear for trial and the trial was conducted and you were found guilty, if you failed to appear for sentencing for more than 90 days after it was set, you would lose your right to any direct appeal. So, any questions?
No.
All right. Let me note the payment count there. It's already noted. Can you find Dan? All right, Ms. Ford, come on in the lobby. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, he's going to sign the trial acknowledgement when he comes in. So Mr. Hawkins has filed a motion to continue and we requested an extension to do the classes. But he said his proof, oh Lord.
That's a good DUI. And I wrote him back and I was like, what about our substance abuse? And he's like, oh well, let's stop.
Yeah, it's still bridges and he still has it in 10 hours. What was this? This is a really old.
Yeah, it's about 10-year-old now. At least he got the DUI done.
Yes. Yeah, we've got. There's one in the file, I don't know. Yeah, he's got a different one in the DUI file, which is older than the. Let's try, I guess.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
Tim Hawkins.
Is not available. At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options. To leave a callback number, press 5.
Mr. Hawkins, this is George Gunscomore Valley Magistrate. We were just trying to get a hold of you to discuss the 10 hours of substance use counseling that you still haven't completed through Bridges. We'll go ahead and set the case off to probably mid-October, which if you got started on the counseling and did 1 hour a week between now and then, should get it finished. Thank you. We'll mail you the new court date.
Thank you.
Mr. Silas, what if we offered him the wise choice alternatives, because it's my vote only turn out being cheaper, because 10 sessions at $20 a session is $200, but the wise choice alternatives is $120 for the book.
I'm fine. I'd like to get this one done.
Yes. I'm writing again.
Okay.
Nancy, can he? I'm going to have him talk to Dan. What's your direct line, Dan? 4782. What's next, this thing?
Everything else is a 10, I think.
Here's some Australian prisons. Yeah, and it's only 9:43.
Yeah.
That's 10. That's 10. Now that's 10. All right, we'll cry back. Thank you. Let's go out to residence, Nancy. Over there, Nancy. We couldn't find the number. I'm going to try it again.
Sure. Hello, Mr. Glenn.
Mr. Glenn, George Dunscombe calling about Miss Sandage.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. And you?
I'm good.
Let's try and get her on the line.
Okay.
Well, before we do that, have you had any reports from her of any kind?
I have not. I called last week. Left a voicemail, but didn't hear back.
All right. Let's try it. Is this Miss Sandage?
This is her.
Miss Sandage, George Dunscombe, Moore Valley Magistrate. We're on the line with Mr. Glenn, your attorney, Mr. Seidel's the prosecutor, and this is your review hearing on some community restitution. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Well, so far so good. So how are you doing on the community restitution?
Still the same. I have not done any of the community service hours.
Now, I'm not going to say I'm surprised.
Yeah, it's kind of hard right now. Hello?
All right. I'm not even sure that they would let you into a school to volunteer at this point. Even though their plans for opening are a little, well, up in the air, shall we say. Gentlemen, I don't think until this, the whole thing is more under control that we're going to make any progress on this at all. I'm thinking a 60 or 90 day continuance. What do you think, Mr. Glenn?
That sounds about right, Your Honor. Everything is such so up in the air on the virus, and it changes every day. So,
Ms. Sanders, what's your input on that?
I agree. I mean, we don't know what's going on right now, so it's all up in the air.
But if you see some opportunities to do that, you should maybe jump on them, because there are some places that are accepting volunteers, but I don't know, it might be pretty restricted. You might try the community food bank, but you'd have to wear, protective clothing to do that. That's one possibility. I think, like Casa Maria Soup Kitchen, I think is still serving people, but I'm not sure that they're taking outside volunteers coming in because of this whole thing. So you might keep your eyes and ears open, and if you see an opportunity to volunteer and it would fit with your schedule, you know, go sign up, because we'll probably accept pretty much anything that benefits the community as a whole, okay?
Yeah.
Nancy, we need a new court date. No, I'm not far enough. No, that's not far enough. How about October 5th?
Okay, to me.
That'll be good, Your Honor.
Very good, thank you. We'll reset it at 10 o'clock. We'll mail you folks. We'll mail you the paperwork. Thank you.
Thanks.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye bye.
Bye.
Okay, we're going to move on with Ms. Leitner.
You have reached the voicemail box of 520-440-8727. At the tone, please record your voice message. When you are finished recording, you may hang up or press pound for more options.
Ms. Leitner, this is George Dunscombe, Lower Valley Magistrates. You had a review hearing at 10 o'clock this morning. I understand you had your evaluation scheduled for June 30th. But we need to know the results of the evaluation, and we need to discuss whether you were going to be able to start making payments. If you don't call us back, we may be in a position of having to issue a warrant. You can call the front desk at 229-4780, then press 0 and tell the clerk at the counter who answers why you need to talk to us. Thank you. Robert Tippett.
not even sure what we're reviewing in Mr. Tippett's. Well, this is the guy that sent 71 to 72 through Stonewall, but still hasn't gotten the exit interview or gone to an AA class.
There you go.
All right, here we go.
Call as soon as possible. Thank you.
That doesn't sound like
at the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Mr. Siles, that didn't sound like Mr. Tippett, so Ms. Leitner has now called back, so we'll deal with Ms. Leitner first and then try that number again. Is this Patricia Leitner?
This is.
This is Georgetown's Camore Valley Magistrate. We're on the line with Mr. Seidels. And
hi.
We're doing the review hearing on your case.
Yep.
And we understood that there was an evaluation scheduled for June 30th.
And they did it, and so they just sent me paperwork. And I have my math class paperwork, so you can send an email to you guys right away.
Okay, but you're saying La Frontera didn't send us anything.
Oh, great. They said they were going to send it to you, and that's what I had done with La Frontera. On that Tuesday, the day of the last court hearing.
Well, we still don't have it. Nancy, do you have your computer? Can you send Caesar an email and ask him who the criminal justice liaison is with La Frontera?
Yeah, to sign the paperwork, I'm going to release information to you.
We have the releases, but we don't have the results of the evaluation.
She was simply asking us that all of our courts, and I said, yes.
Well, if Caesar is sitting at his computer, and answers the email right away, we may be able to get an answer in the next 5 minutes or so.
Okay. If not, is there any way I can try to call him and have him send anything?
Absolutely. That would probably be the best way. I guess you would call the testing site and you went and said, please send the results.
Right. I would have did that fine, but I didn't know they did. I thought they did, because they said they were
going to. We faxed them the release of information on June 30th.
Right.
You don't happen to have a phone number of where you...
I can look at it quickly on the phone.
Okay.
Okay.
I called the office and said it was on the phone. What's the address of the location where you went? It was where? Nancy, I'm not seeing the number we sent it to. I do not see a phone number. I take it Caesar didn't respond yet. Any response there? All right, so Ms. Lightner, let's ask a different question. Instead of waiting for paperwork, what was it that they told you that you had to do and if you signed up for it?
I said I didn't have to, I just thought I was fine. Everything was okay, I didn't have to do signs or anything. And it wasn't talking to me.
Well, then I guess we're absolutely going to have the paperwork.
Right, right. I'm not going to go anywhere. If I want to get, I'm not going to quit, go ahead and try to call them and try to, look up what's, that's not what I'm on the phone.
All right.
I try and get them to fax it over, or email it over.
Now, why don't we, all right, then let's go ahead and adjourn our hearing for the moment, and you try and do that and give us a call back, okay?
Okay, I will.
Thank you.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, Ms. Lightner, you're still on the phone. With us. All right, Mr. Stiles, let's try Mr. Tibbetts again. 312.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
This is George Dunscombe, the Royal Valley Magistrate, and we were attempting to get a hold of Robert Tibbetts, and this was the phone number that he put on his address information form on a previous date. If this is not Mr. Tibbetts' phone number, please disregard. If it is, please tell him he needs to call us. Thank you. That's actually the number on the citation. I'm not even sure where this other number comes from, and it's from 2019. It's not till
you have reached Bobby Tibbetts. If you are looking for Jim Cook Nissan, you'll have to email them or put a plus one in their number. Thank you. Have a good day.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Mr. Tibbetts, this is George Dunscombe, Moore Valley Magistrate. We're on the line with Mr. Seidels, and we're still waiting for you to provide us proof of completing the exit interview from Stonewall and completing an AA class. If you don't get back to us, there's the possibility that we may issue a warrant for you. Our phone number at the front counter is 229-4780. Then press 0 and tell the clerk what you're after. Thank you. Mr. Saddles, do you want to stay in line, or should you call you back when Ms. Lightner gets back to us? Okay. Yeah, we'll just call you back.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Huh?
Off the record, Nancy. Daniel, can you get a hold of, try calling Stonewall and see. Okay.
We're in the record yet?
Yes.
All right, this is the time set for the civil traffic hearing in the matter of State of Arizona versus Malachi Hernandez.
Yes.
CT 2020000439. Who do I have on the phone, please?
Malachi.
Okay. Malachi, how old are you?
I'm 16, or 17 now.
You're 17, okay, but you're still not 18. Do you have a parent with you?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I'm here, Brandy Allen.
Yes, ma'am. Is Officer Pacino on the phone?
Yes, Your Honor, I am present.
Okay. Well, this is George Dunscombe, Moore Valley Magistrate. The order of the hearing is the officer will go first with his testimony. Once he's completed his initial presentation, Malachi, you have the right to ask questions on cross-examination.
Okay.
That means just ask him, you can ask him any questions you have about his testimony or about the facts of the case. It's not mandatory that you ask questions, but it is your opportunity and your right. When the state's part of the hearing is finished, for their initial presentation, you have the right to present your evidence and your witnesses. When you finish, the officer gets to respond to anything you presented. That's called rebuttal. And again, you would have the right of cross-examination at the end of the rebuttal and the right to respond to anything the officer has added in his testimony. And then I would make my decision. So, do you have any questions, Mr. Hernandez, about how we're going to proceed?
No, sir.
Okay. I'm going to swear everyone in first, and I'm assuming that's probably going to include Ms. Allen. So do you all solemnly swear or affirm the testimony that you present in this manner will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That's
yes, sir.
Okay. Officer Pacino?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. All right, so we have Mr. Hernandez. Did you get a copy of the exhibit that the state wants to admit into evidence?
Yes, I did get a copy today, and so I have seen two pictures that was sent to me via email because we moved, and so the address changed.
Okay. Well, Officer Bettina, there are only two exhibits, right? State's Exhibit Number 1 and State's Exhibit Number 2.
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. Go ahead, Officer Pacino. You may proceed.
Yes, Your Honor. So on the early morning of April 18, 2020, at 03:04 hours, while on patrol in the town of Royal Valley, which is located within Pima County, I stopped a light brown Volkswagen Passat near the intersection of Rancho Vistoso Boulevard and Vistoso Highlands Drive. During this observation, I was in my fully marked police car in full uniform. The vehicle ultimately was stopped. The vehicle was stopped due to having no rear registration displayed, which is a violation in Arizona Revised Statute Chapter 28, 48251A1. I was speaking with the driver after the traffic stop was initiated. I identified the teen male as Malachi Hernandez. I finally learned that he was on his way home from a friend's house off of Tanner Roberts Road, which was just adjacent to our stop location. After asking my investigatory questions and officer safety questions, Malachi said that the reason for the plate not being on the vehicle with the family, tried to keep it off due to issues with his mother's friend, ex-boyfriend or husband. I don't recall what the relationship was. Malachi was unaware that he was out past curfew at the age of 16 during the time of the traffic stop, and the traffic stop being initiated at 03:04 hours. Malachi denied when asked to possess any weapons or drugs, and was able to provide me with the registration that was secured away in the glove box of the vehicle. In addition to gathering his license and registration documents, I requested the remainder of the vehicle. I returned to my fully marked police car. It also shall be known that during the time of gathering of documents, no insurance information was available for me to verify. Upon completion of manner registration check, it was determined that Malachi was unlicensed in the state of Arizona and only held a learner's permit through the state of Virginia, where he previously resided with his father. I will return back to the vehicle. I asked Malachi to step out of the vehicle. When doing so, I asked him to pat him down. He ultimately said, no, I don't find that necessary. After going into depth of just about my safety and me being alone on a traffic stop, we continue to ask if he had anything illegal on him. He ultimately started to secure his hands in his pockets. In fear of maybe Malachi going for a weapon or whatever his intentions were, I was able to secure his hands and remove them out of his pocket, which ultimately was he was detained in handcuffs. Once properly detained, he told me, after he became very emotional, that he had DAP, which is known as a street drug for liquid marijuana. He also had an electronic cigarette and a lighter, which at his age is also illegal. After calling Malachi down, understanding the circumstances that he was presenting, he was able to contact Mom Brandy, who was given knowledge of the situation and was understanding and explaining to me that she'd be on her way with another licensed driver to operate the vehicle and take custody of Malachi. The items obtained were confiscated, stored, and later entered as evidence. And so now I'm kind of sitting in the rear of my vehicle, continuously checked on until the arrival of his mother, Brandy. And when she arrived, I met with her, and ultimately Malachi was removed from my vehicle, unsecured handcuffs, and ultimately turned over to his mother's custody. With the misdemeanor charges that are unrelevant to today's court case, the hearing, Brandy was explained and later signed a juvenile referral through the juvenile court system for the misdemeanor charges. And ultimately, he was also issued citation number, which is today's hearing date.
Okay, Officer Pacino, I don't mean to interrupt, but you've got into an awful lot of detail that really doesn't have much to do with the sole charge which remains. He has obtained, he's resolved the driver's license charge, and he's resolved the no proof of insurance charge by providing proof. So the only charge we're concerned with right now is the no rear license plate. So talk to us about exhibit number one, please.
So exhibit number one is the plate that was removed from the glove box. That was obviously in addition to exhibit number two, which was relocated and photographed.
We have marked them differently than you sent them in. But exhibit number one appears to me to be the rear end of a Volkswagen where in the license plate area it says Larry H. Miller Volkswagen.
Yes, so obviously they were marked incorrectly. Exhibit, you can still go with it, but exhibit one was supposed to be the plate that was removed from the glove box that was on top of the trunk, and then exhibit two was that identifying that it was not secured where it is supposed to, where the dealership advertising plate was located.
And you're moving... And you say that the license plate was in the trunk of the car?
No, really.
I mean in the glove box?
Yes, Your Honor.
Well, at least it's a current plate. Did you have anything further?
No, no.
Do you wish states number one and two to be admitted into evidence?
Yes, Your Honor.
Do you have any objection, Mr. Hernandez?
The only thing I would say is that the license plate was not in the glove box. It was right under. It was on the ground.
Mr. Hernandez, you misunderstand. Right now, the only question in front of you is whether you object to the two photographs presented by the officer being admitted into evidence.
No.
Okay. Now, states 1 and 2 will be admitted without objection. Now, Mr. Hernandez, do you have questions that you wanted to ask the officer in cross-examination?
Yes. All I wanted to ask is that I thought the license plate was, like, clearly seen under the glove box. Like, it was visible from the outside of the car, too. It was just on the ground at the passenger seat. Like, it was visible from everywhere.
Well, that's not a question.
Oh, I mean,
you don't have to ask the officer questions, but do you have any questions that you want to ask the officer to maybe clear up some of his testimony or anything like that?
No, sir. No, sir.
Okay. So why don't you tell your side of the story, or if your mother, since it's her car, is in better position to do the explaining, you could actually have her tell me the story.
Yes, I would like that.
Go ahead, Ms. Allen. You're already under oath.
Yes. So I was going through my daughter had been placed in my sole custody through an emergency motion through the courts, and being afraid of her father trying to follow us, which I found out he did, I kept my plate off the car because he was always constantly trying to find out where we're at, even though he was not allowed to know where we live because I had a protected address. And so that's the only reason why the plate was not on the back of the car, but I did have it in the car on the floor of the car. Like it, so it was visible, it just wasn't placed on the back. But everything was valid.
Yeah, but it wouldn't have been visible to police officer
right
behind the car, right?
Yes, sir. You're absolutely right. I didn't have it placed on there because I did not want him to try and find me and know where we live, because at that time he was not allowed to know where our location was.
Okay. Has that situation resolved itself?
Yes, now it is resolved. The plate's on the car. Everything's been resolved.
Okay. Mr. Hernandez, did you want to present anything else?
No, Your Honor.
Officer Pacino, do you want to respond in any way?
There's no rebuttal, Your Honor.
Well, Ms. Allen, what I will tell you is, while I completely understand your rationale and motivation for not putting the plate on the car, but I don't know. I don't know whether it helped you or not. I hope that it was successful to some extent. In any event, this is not a moving violation. There are no points associated with this violation. It's in essence an administrative violation. And the officer was technically correct that there was no plate on the car.
So I have the manager.
So, Mr. Hernandez,
yes, sir.
I'm going to find you responsible on it, but I'm not going to impose any sanctioning because, one, it's not your car and not your plate, and two, there was a valid reason why your mother didn't put the plate on the car, okay?
Yes, sir.
So, if you go to your MVD record, it'll show that you were driving without a license plate on the car, but there's no points, there's no ramifications, there are no insurance ramifications, anything. It's just there, okay?
Okay.
If you want to appeal, you can't. You have the right to do so. To do so, you'd have to file a written notice within 14 days. We'll send you the paperwork, and if you want us to appeal it, and then you can fill it out and send it back. Other than that, our hearing's done. Do you have any questions?
No, sir.
All right, so don't drive. Don't be out after curfew. Don't drive without a plate on the car, and don't drive unless you've got an adult with you until you have the license, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. We're adjourned. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Oh, here's this paper.
Hello?
Is this Melanie Bailey?
Yes.
This is George Dunscombe, Moore Valley Magistrate. You have filed a petition for an order of protection against the Thomas Law.
Yes.
I'm just curious, given that you live on Prince Road, why you filed in Oro Valley?
I filed it because my hotel room that I'm staying in is closer to Atlas than my college dormitory.
Okay. I guess. You understand that if it's contested, you have to come up here for the contested hearing.
Oh, what's that, I'm sorry?
If the hearing, if the petition is granted that it ends up being contested, the hearing is held in this court, not downtown. You know that? All right. Well, we'll start by swearing you in. You solemnly swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Ms. Bailey? Hello?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Well, no, I couldn't hear you. The question is, did you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. What was the last thing you heard from me?
Do I swear the testimony?
Right.
That I swear?
Okay, so do you solemnly swear the testimony about to give me the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you're breaking up. Are you moving the phone away from your mouth, perhaps, or...
No.
Okay. Well, so who is Thomas Law?
He is my upstairs neighbor and my ex-boyfriend.
When you say ex-boyfriend, tell me a bit about the duration of the relationship and the extent of the relationship.
We were in a relationship that lasted about a month. We did not... Our communication wasn't very good.
Okay, you're breaking up again. I last I heard was your communication wasn't very good.
Yeah, we started to butt heads. So I broke up with him. He wasn't very happy about it. Since then, we've had interactions, but the majority of them are bad interactions.
Well, when did you start dating and when did you break up with him?
It was May.
We broke up
within the same month.
Okay, and was it a romantic or sexual relationship?
Yeah.
Well, I've read the allegations in the petition, and the first one that apparently occurs on July 7th doesn't appear to involve you at all.
What do you mean?
Well, you're talking about him flashing a gun to neighbors, but you're not saying that he threatened you?
I am included in the neighbors. On multiple occasions, he flashes his gun to me, involved, like, included in the neighbors as well as other neighbors in our whole complex.
Okay. Well, let me just clarify something about the statute. Before I can grant an order of protection, I have to be able to find two things. First, that you meet a specific relationship test to Mr. Law, and second, that he's actually committed one or more of a specific list of criminal offenses. And while flashing a gun in front of the neighbors, including you, is probably unnecessary and stupid, It's not a crime, per se, unless he's pointing it at someone in a threatening way. Or if he points it at somebody and it might endanger them, but just having the gun out and flashing, it's not a crime, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so tell me what happened on the 24th, and I don't know, you said you were outside with the neighbors smoking, and I don't know what your apartment looks like, so just tell me what was going on and the logistics, and since we're on the subject, tell me how he would have gotten hold of your towel.
We are neighbors, and a while ago, he doesn't have any, thing in his home. It's just a couch and a bed. He didn't have any towels, any plates, cups, silverware. There's just no accessories for his home whatsoever. When I would go there, I would bring my own things, my hairbrush, my lamp, things like that, and I've gotten a couple of things back here and there, because of one of our other neighbors is still friends with him, and I've given him his things back, but in
your
mind back.
So you might have left the towel in his apartment, or?
No, I did leave the towel in his apartment.
Okay, well, at any rate, tell us what happened when you went, when you were outside smoking on the 24th.
I have... the 24th, is that the, I'm not specific on this thing. I wrote them down, but I don't remember them in my head. I remember the incident, but not the date related to it, the numerical value.
Okay, this is the one that starts our quote. I was with the neighbors smoking. He had come up from the pool with my towel wrapped around him. He put it down, and I asked if that was my towel. He said no, and went about his business. I knew it was my towel. I took it back. He comes back and demands the towel. He kept getting ruder and more demanding and more vulgar as he kept yelling for the towel. And then it says, I left from talking to my friend upstairs due to the level. Nothing more was said.
I had gone outside. I was sitting outside. My neighbor, right next door to my house, I had come out, and we were sitting outside both our front doors talking, because they're right next door to each other. And he had come from the pool, and he set my towel down, he set the rest of his belongings down. She had gone in the house for a second, and I asked him, isn't that my towel? And he was like, well, it doesn't matter, it's fine now. She has my towel, she probably... he was talking to one of the other neighbors. He probably has one of her towels. I said it again, but that one, I specifically remember, it's my towel. He was like, whatever, and he walked away. So when he walked away, I took my towel, I laid it all out, I put it in my dirty clothes, and I came back outside. I continued smoking my cigarette. He came back from the pool area again, or wherever he had gone to, once he had put his stuff down on. He had come back, and he instantly got upset with me and started cursing at me, like, give it back, fine, you know what it is, like, that's the only towel I have in my house, like, getting really mad at me. Like, I'm not going to sit here and get yelled at over something that's mine. So I went into my house.
So my
friend
arrived,
I went back in the house.
Well, did you yell at him first?
No.
Did you yell at him at all?
No.
But he was yelling at you?
Yeah.
Was he using profanity?
Yes. Swearing at me, calling me bitch, and I... like that.
Okay, so what happened the next day?
The next day, I was in my home, I was watching TV, and I heard a loud gun. I know it's a gunshot, because I lived in that neighborhood. Just my personal assumption, it was a gunshot. And so I got scared, and I stayed right where I was at. And I went to go outside, and I heard a couple of my neighbor's voices. So I checked out my door, and one of my neighbors was walking up to my door. and she asked me, did you hear that? I like, gunshot, and there was two other male neighbors outside. One of them had looked up, because he was directly above me, so I know when they look at me, they're upward and up. I heard his voice. The neighbor had said, did you not do that? I have PTSD, it's very unnerving, especially with me in the house. And he was like, oh man, I'm sorry. I was just trying to wake up one of my homies that was sleeping on my couch. And I was talking to the older woman downstairs, she heard my voice. And he stopped the conversation with the other neighbor just to yell at me. So when are you going to give me my fucking towel back? I wasn't so surprised when I talked back to him this time. I told him, I don't have your fucking towel. Stupid B-word. It's not your towel. That wasn't very nice of me, but second, it bothered me, so.
Well, then you go on to say that he threatened to shoot you.
Yes. After that happened, I told him, or I had told him that, I had told him I threw it away. I didn't want my girl anymore after he had shoot it for so long, and he threatened me to shoot me unless I gave it back. And so I went to my house really quick. I got my purse and my keys and I was going to leave. And as I was leaving, he was yelling at me still. I'm going to go down there. I'm going to bust your door down. Fucking take my shit. I don't know what he's referencing to, but it's not. Sorry. I'm getting upset. He threatened me that he was breaking my door and that he would shoot me to get his things back. And I wasn't listening to him, I was walking away from him. So the words of his aren't super clear in my head. And I got into my car, I started to pull out, like backwards into the parking lot, and then I started to pull forward. And right as I got to the intersection where the parking lot meets the road, I felt my car like move. And he was banging on the back of my car like he had ran over. He was all red in his chest because he didn't have a shirt on. He was banging on my door, yelling something. I couldn't hear him, so I just kept driving. And then after I drove away, I stopped at the Mount Laurel, and that's when I called the police.
Okay, you stopped somewhere and you did what?
I stopped at the Quickmart on Mount Laurel and called the police.
Okay, and what happened then?
I waited for about an hour and a half for the police to come, and then they took my statement, and then they went to his apartment, and I couldn't get a hold of him. They talked to all the neighbors, and they gave statements. And I'm not sure after that.
So where is your apartment in relationship to his?
Directly under.
Yours is under his?
Directly under, yep. He is 216, I am 116.
I didn't give her... Well, as long as he stays away from the door. What time of day did this last incident occur?
It was 2:33 in the afternoon.
Okay, so this is a daytime incident. This didn't happen in the middle of the night. Had no one ever called the police about him shooting a firearm in the complex or at all?
It happens a lot, so we didn't, like, people don't think much of it because our area that we live in is not good. There's always doors getting robbed or people having fights in the neighborhood. So when people hear stuff, they look around before they call. I live in a bad neighborhood, I guess. I mean, everybody came out to check, but...
How do you think I can issue this order in a way that it's going to be effective given that you live in the same complex?
No contact. Like, I know that the distancing isn't reasonable because we are so close to neighbors. I just want no contact. The majority of the time, we don't talk unless he initiates it. I just want it to be known to him. I do not want any contact with him. I don't want him to initiate anything.
Why did you say that? Were you kidding? You can't do it again? Nancy, the thing about firearms isn't here. Yes. In the Arizona statute, and he has to turn his weapons to over to TPD.
No.
I'm sorry. So, Ms. Bailey, have you been living in a hotel since last week?
I've been staying at a hotel 3 nights so far. I've been asking my neighbor friend, she lives upstairs next to him, I've been asking her if what's been going on, if it seems okay to come back or not.
Have you complained to the
to the manager?
Yeah.
No, the manager is very rude to me, and he talks to Mr. Law all the time, and it kind of simple matter. So I every time I talk to him, he has disregarded me and been very rude to me. So I didn't think that he'd be able or even consider listening or helping.
I just can't believe it. Well, I'll find there's adequate evidence to believe that he's committed. Did he have the gun in his hand when he threatened to shoot you?
I did not look at him. He was upstairs the whole time, and I did not try and make eye contact because it initiated more for him. So I just tried not to look at him. I kept my back turned. The only time I looked at him was one quick look when he was hitting on my car, but I didn't look very hard. I was trying to drive away real fast. So I'm sorry, I'm not sure if he had it on him. It was not in his hand, though.
I find there's adequate evidence to believe that the defendant has committed acts of disorderly conduct, and given the fact that he'd already discharged the firearm the night that he threatened to shoot you, the act of threatening and intimidating, I find to meet the relationship test. I grant the request for the order of protection. We're going to have no contact with you. Don't go near your residence, which in this case means you can't go to your door. I mean, you can't be, you know, you really can't be near your door or at the front of your building. But the no contact is probably the thing that's going to keep you the safest. Order him not going to your place of employment. I'm going to order that he not possess firearms and that he turn the or ammunition and he turn the guns over to the Tucson Police Department. Although I'm not sure how far that ever goes because there's little way to enforce those orders.
Yeah.
It's in effect for 365 days after service. Once it's entered, it goes automatically to the Tucson Police Department, and it is their obligation to serve this order of protection. We can't tell you whether they will or not, and There's no provision in the procedures that we know of that requires them to notify you if they have or have not done that.
Okay.
But you might be, you know, you might be in a position to, you can call the non-emergency number and say, hey, I had this order of protection. Has it been served yet? Well, you know, as to what will happen, I don't know.
Okay.
At any rate, if he requests a hearing requesting the order be modified or set aside, you'd have to appear for the hearing and represent all the evidence and testimony you presented today. If there were other witnesses, such as the neighbors who might have heard some of these events and would be able to testify, that would be helpful for your cause. He would then have an opportunity to present his evidence and witnesses. The court would then decide whether the order would be left in place, whether it might be modified or vacated entirely. Just because I've issued an order of protection doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be safe. If he chooses to obey, it's a useful tool. If he chooses to ignore it, it's just a piece of paper, and you're not any safer than you were. So you need to maybe work with family or friends or maybe the neighbors who you do trust and come up with a plan for how you're going to keep yourself safe in the event that it shows up where you are. I mean, example, what are you going to do if it starts banging on your door after you go back to the house? What if he does it in the daytime? What if he does it at night? What if you're leaving the parking lot and he tries to intercept you as you're leaving? What if he accosts you as you're headed from your car to the parking lot? You know, what if he shows up at your place of employment? What if he's following you in traffic? I'm not trying to scare you or make you paranoid. I'm just making suggestions to you as to where are the places he might initiate contact, and you just need to have a plan in place for how you're going to keep yourself safe, okay?
If he does follow me to my workplace or to my car, would I be able to call the police for help?
Yes, that's a violation of the order. That would be initiating contact.
Okay. All right.
I mean, I don't know that you get TPD to arrest him. They may not until he actually walks up and says something to you or grabs you or touches you or something, but following you would seem to me to be a violation of the order. At any rate, there's a pamphlet that we got from the State Supreme Court that talks about personal safety plans, and we'll send you one of those too.
Let's see, we talked to you.
Hearing. How would you like to receive the order? I mean, snail mail, it might get there 3 or 4 days. Do you have an email address where you would want it emailed, or do you want to come pick it up?
I can come pick it up.
Okay. You can just, do you know where the Ravalli Court is?
Yes. Is it,
Ravalli
Court, is that so much to the magistrate building that I had dropped it off at?
It is. It's actually the magistrate court where you dropped it off. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Let me check the order. All right. The order is signed. Good luck, Ms. Bailey. Do you have any other questions?
No, thank you, sir.
All right. Good luck.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.